Amen. Well, the children are an encouragement, aren't they? They've not been told to be quiet yet. It's a wonderful thing. We love to hear the children say amen. I remember Palmer Robertson, 2 Chronicles 26, by the way, I'm turning to. I remember Palmer Robertson, who spent many years a missionary in Uganda, asking us to say amen at certain points, of which people found a bit uncomfortable. But we needn't feel uncomfortable, because the house of the Lord is a place of great joy. But we're going to hear from 2 Chronicles chapter 26 that it's not a great joy when leaders go astray. And why are we looking at 2 Chronicles 26? Because King Uzziah, the title of the sermon is really Uzziah, King of Judah. He is one of the kings during the reign of Isaiah. And so we're going to get a little bit of an understanding of the backstory of what life was like in the reign of Isaiah in the 8th century, which is about 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. So let's hear 2 Chronicles 26 as the word of God, which indeed it is, and see what we can learn this morning. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. Listen to this. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabna and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal, and against the Mernites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt. For he became very strong. Verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle, and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and cut many cisterns, for he had large herds both in the Shephelah and in the plain, and he made farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war in divisions, according to the numbers in the muster made by Jael, the secretary, and Maaseiah, the officer, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole number of the heads of fathers' houses of mighty men of valor was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Verse 16. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him. And behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote, and Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. The reason I was smiling towards the end of that reading wasn't so much the reading, but we have a Jotham on the front row who's one of our youngest members here, and he obviously recognized his name there and looked up all of a sudden. So let's take a look at this passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 26. The title of the sermon for us this morning is Uzziah, a King of Judah. Uzziah, a King of Judah. And he was in the time of Isaiah the prophet. There were also other prophets at the time. A contemporary of Isaiah was Micah, also Hosea. But we're focusing on Isaiah to understand the background of which Isaiah was called as a preacher. Isaiah is one of the thickest books in the Bible. Isaiah is probably one of the most cited prophets from before Jesus Christ came from the scriptures. So we've got much to learn from Isaiah, but we're really focusing on 2 Chronicles 26, the ministry of Uzziah. But the reason why this is important, because for those who are familiar with the book of Isaiah, in chapter 6, it says that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was called to preach. In the year that King Uzziah died, we don't know if Isaiah was called to preach before Uzziah died or afterwards, but what we know is he died a leper. We don't read that he repented of his prideful actions before he died. We don't know that. But one thing we do know is that Judah was not in a wonderful place in terms of the people were given to all kinds of idolatrous practices. And the king himself, though he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, he didn't die well, something that you and I should pray for ourselves, that our ending would finish well, that would remain faithful to the Lord. Have you ever prayed that? You may think, well, I'm only 27. Why do I want to start praying about dying? I've only just begun. Well, it's something we should pray for all of us, for ourselves individually and for our covenant children as well, because Paul the Apostle, it says, he finished the race and he fought the good fight of faith. And there is a good fight of faith, and it's not easy. So our headings this morning are, number one, Uzziah prospers. Number two, Uzziah's pride. Number three, Uzziah's anger. And then you've already guessed number four, it's Uzziah's leprosy. But we know that there's a very brief explanation about Uzziah in 2 Kings, but we get a more extensive explanation of this Judean king in the book of Chronicles. Well, why is that? Why do we get more in Chronicles than we do in Kings? Well, one of the answers is there's a different author of Chronicles as there is to Kings. Kings were written by the prophets and explained to us that it wasn't God's fault, the reason why they went astray, but it was the sinfulness of men and women in Judah and in Israel. Chronicles has a different author. It's written at a different time after Judah and the tribes come back from exile. It's most likely written by the high priest Ezra. But Chronicles 1 and 2 Chronicles focuses singularly on the covenant line, and the covenant line of Jesus Christ was to come through the line of Judah. And so we get an emphasis there in Chronicles, and we get much more detail of King Uzziah in this book. So let's look at the first heading, first of all. And what was the first heading? It's Uzziah prospers. Uzziah prospers. That's a good start, isn't it? In verse 26 and verse chapter 26 and verse 1, and all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. And then it says in verse 4, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. So we have a good start in this reign. At least this king is doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But that doesn't mean that everything they do is right in the sight of the Lord. And we'll learn a bit more about that. What we learn about, first of all, from verse 26 and verse 1, is his father. Remember what his father's name was there? It was Amaziah or Amaziah. And what we learn about him in chapter 25, that he also did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But we learn something else about the father of Uzziah. The father of Uzziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. Not with a whole heart. So covenant children like Uzziah would have grown up and seen the leaven of compromise in their dad. They would have seen their dad was doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a whole heart. So we can look this morning and we can learn the lessons from Uzziah and his father. But how about you? No doubt, I expect most of you to be intent on doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord, which is why you're here this morning. But are you seeking to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord and also with a whole heart? Are you a Christian, male or female, this morning, who is, I can't think of a better phrase, but are you all in regarding the kingdom of God? Is your heart fully yielded to the Lord? Because if not, who knows what may happen to you, which we're learning this morning. Remember what Jesus said. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So I read this phrase, it's from a Christian book, a very good Christian book, and I find it a helpful phrase. It says this: Jesus may live in your heart, but Granddad lives in your bones. That's an interesting phrase. Jesus may live in your heart, but Granddad lives in your bones. So let's not be super spiritual to think that the natural influence, and maybe some spiritual influences as well, of our parents and of our grandparents has not had any effect to shape you. It clearly does. And here we see from Scripture that the dad of Uzziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a whole heart. We need to maybe take time beyond this sermon just to think about the influences in our own life of our own parents, grandparents. What have been important values to them, good and maybe not so good? And see, think, is it something we need to evaluate? Because there's only one person who is perfect in this world, and his name is Jesus Christ. So let's not run from that reality, because Amaziah, the dad of Uzziah, his heart was lifted up, which means his dad became proud as a king. What happened to his son? His son ended up becoming proud as a king as well. And so we've got a lot to learn from this, that sadly, Uzziah's dad ended up in exile as a king. What's he doing in exile? He's supposed to be reigning over Judah. But he ends up in exile. So in chapter 26 and verse 5, coming back to Uzziah, look at this beautiful verse here. It says, Uzziah set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. We could say much about fearing God, but beyond the sermon this morning. But what a wonderful thing that this man, Zechariah, is discipling the king to fear God. Do we hear enough in the church about the significance of fearing God? Do we give enough attention, as Scripture does, about the reverential fear of the Lord? And as a result of that, this king, it says here, he began to seek the Lord, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And I could ask the question this morning, are you seeking the Lord? But we need to really ask that again, not simply me as a preacher, because we can quickly come to the answer, well, yes, I am. But are we seeking the Lord with a whole heart? And we notice from that passage, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And we see that he defeated the Ammonites, the Philistines. He ended up with an army of soldiers. Is that good or what? Not necessarily. He ended up with a very large army. Don't forget, this is the Bronze Age or thereabouts. And he's so successful, he's developing weapons of war to defeat all of his enemies. And what we begin to learn, even in his success, he's departing from the Lord. Why? Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. It's not the job of a Judean king to develop a huge army in that time period so that you do not have to trust in the Lord. The whole point of covenant history is, I don't want you to be building an army and to be copying the nations of the world. I want you to be seeking first the kingdom of God. And if an enemy comes against you and you're seeking me, you call out to me and I'll defend you. So we see there's a departure from the Lord. The first heading is Uzziah's prosperity, But our second heading is now Uzziah's pride. So bearing in mind what we've begun to see about the remarkable achievements of Uzziah in verse 13, an army of 307,500 people, we see in verse 16, though, well, maybe go to verse 15 before, which I've mentioned, his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. When he grew strong, he grew proud to his destruction. Remember when Jesus came and they pulled the swords out? And Jesus said, put it away. Jesus not come to build an earthly kingdom, though he said he could call all this legion of angels to defend him. And that's always been the case in the people of God, that God is our defense. Uzziah's pride, he became strong. He grew proud to his destruction. He became unfaithful to the Lord, but that unfaithfulness didn't begin when he entered into the temple, which we read here. We see in chapter 26 and verse 16 that he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense, but he'd already been growing proud and departing from the Lord for quite a while. But now his pride... And there's a real lesson of pride here for us, is there not? Because there's a problem of strength. Strength can lead to self-reliance. Strength can lead to independence, self-seeking, which can lead to unfaithfulness to the Lord. And these kings in Chronicles, if you want a good read, let me tell you, if you want a good read in the next few weeks, 2 Chronicles. Don't think you've always got to start in 1 Chronicles. If you want to, that's fine. I'm not putting down 1 Chronicles. But if you want a really good read, pick up 2 Chronicles. And it keeps you on the edge of your seat. You can't wait to wake up the following morning to keep reading some more. But there are real lessons for us about Uzziah and the sins in his heart. And here's some warnings, not only about Uzziah now, about pride, from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Have you memorized that one? It says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. So if we want to avoid disgrace, it's to seek not only humility, but to avoid pride. Pride's a very difficult sin for us, isn't it? Someone once described pride as the only sin that the devil won't make you feel guilty about. You commit some other sin, you have an unclean thought about, you know, somebody of the opposite sex, and the devil may come along and say, look at you, you hypocrite. You were sat in, you know, the Hilltop Chapel on Sunday, and look at you on Tuesday, having all these unclean thoughts. And will goad you, and you begin to think, yeah, the devil's right. I am a hypocrite. Yeah, well, you might be. But it's interesting about pride is that the devil will never come and goad someone about their pride. You begin to think too high of yourself, and the devil comes along and says, you know, you are pretty good. You know, it begins to pour oil into that, into the flame. Proverbs 16:18: pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, sometimes if you have a Bible quiz as a family, and you say, complete this Bible verse, pride goes before, and people say, a fall. But actually, if we here read it again, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. So this is something for us all to ponder and examine ourselves about King Uzziah, and what a contrast between this Judean king Uzziah, who became prideful, and the messianic king from Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom there was no pride in him whatsoever. Did you notice Jesus didn't come and have an army with 300 odd thousand men? He didn't go recruiting soldiers from Galilee. He went recruiting preachers, because the kingdom of God is not of this world. And so Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, of Christ, the Judean king, it says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What a humble Savior we have, who did not turn away from the shame and the stigma of the cross. Because without the cross, there would be no salvation. Aren't we thankful for the cross of Christ this morning, to save unworthy sinners as we are, so that we could reign as kings with the Lord? Hallelujah, what a gospel. In Matthew 11, the king of Judah, the king of Judah, not just a king, which Uzziah was, says this: come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you feeling weary this morning? Are you feeling downcast this morning? You're in the right place. You're in God's house, and the arms of Jesus are extended to you. And that simple word, that invitation, come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, beautiful Savior we have. What a man Jesus is, and now reigning as our high priest. Our third heading is Uzziah's anger. Well, let's take a look at this briefly, Uzziah's anger. It says in verse 16, but when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. What is he doing? Verse 17, but Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord, who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God. Now, without looking at the rest of the next verse, how do you think Uzziah responded? Did he say, praise God, I don't know what I'm doing. Thanks for pointing this out to me. I'm really sorry about this. I should never have been burning incense. Is that the way King Uzziah responded? Sadly, no. And we see the response that we would expect. If you remember being at school, I remember doing very basic maths, really basic maths at school. You know, it was where one of the teachers got a little graph on, and you got like 5 points, and the teacher asked me and the rest of the class, okay, plot where you think the graph went like this, and you had to plot where you would think the rest of the graph would go. So you basically just followed where it's going to go. And that's exactly what we see in Uzziah. That little simple method there I learned as a young boy, we find that we just plot on the graph. We know how he's going to respond. Unless the Lord intervenes, we know how he's going to respond. And it says in verse 19, then Uzziah was angry. Then Uzziah was angry. And that's our third heading, Uzziah's anger. How does pride manifest itself? In many different ways. And one of the ways it manifests itself can be anger. We see Proverbs 16 in action here in Uzziah. He grew proud to his destruction. Now, actions can vary in different people. Anger's not the only way that proud people respond, but it's one of them. And for Uzziah, his action of pride and then his anger was destructive. He was a king of the tribe of Judah through which the covenant line would come until Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We thank God for Azariah, this priest, who confronted this king with 80 other priests. And if the Lord had not been on their side, it may have cost them their life, but the Lord preserved them. And what did they say to King Uzziah? It is not for you to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated. Now, let's just focus just for a moment before we move to the next point about anger. Because pride in a Christian will even cause a Christian to justify our anger. Well, the reason why I got angry was it was righteous anger I was feeling. Well, it might be, but it might not be. And we can sometimes, even when we get angry, cover it up and say, you know, there's a reason why you're angry. We know Jesus got angry when he cleansed the temple. But how many times have you or I been angry? How many times have you and me been angry? And it's actually been pride. Our pride has been offended. We're not getting our own way. And so we want to examine ourselves that pride can produce anger because we know in our sinfulness that we can manipulate people at times if we use our anger. Does that describe you and me? The use of anger to get your own way, to dominate people, to control them, to manipulate them, and it should not be so among the people of God. Well, despite his anger, he didn't get his own way, and God intervened with our fourth and last heading. And this should give us the fear of God, should it not? In verse 19, then Uzziah was angry. And then in verse 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous. Because in the verse before, we see that God struck him with leprosy. And leprosy, we know, is a skin disease that was not curable in the time of Uzziah, and you weren't allowed to be near the temple if you had such a skin disease. And Azariah, the chief priest, they rushed him out from the temple. That God intervened and struck this king. Perhaps you and I could use a phrase. We know that the Lord Jesus said, you know, remember Lot's wife. We could also probably have a further phrase, remember King Uzziah. Remember King Uzziah, the one whom the Lord struck with leprosy. And so we see leprosy broke out in his forehead. We've got examples in the Bible of, remember the example of Nadab and Abihu, who were offering strange fire. We remember about Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. We remember the rebellion against Moses in the book of Numbers. But here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we have an example of Uzziah. Uzziah's incurable leprosy. We see divine intervention. God takes his kingdom seriously. He takes the church as seriously today in 2021 as he did in the 8th century before Jesus Christ came. Do you believe that? Okay, we may not see across the United Kingdom people being struck with leprosy, but don't think that the Lord takes his kingdom any less seriously. The church belongs to God and not to men. The worship belongs to God and not to men. We don't get to pick a mix and say, well, I prefer this style of worship and I prefer this to be done. No, we have to do things in God's way. And so, guess who's living in exile now in a house, it says in verse 21, and King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, he lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. And now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote. So as we close this morning, let's think about the preacher Isaiah. It says in Isaiah chapter 6, he records his own calling. The first five chapters of Isaiah give an introduction to the whole book of different sermons that Isaiah had preached over many years. And then he gives his calling in chapter 6, and he says, in the year that King Uzziah died. And we know from Kings that there were high places all across Judah that people were leaving the Old Testament church and then going and offering to idols in the high places. So the people were astray, and so was the king. And so in the year that God called Isaiah, things were not looking wonderfully favorable. The king can't even rule because of his pride. He's covered with leprosy. And yet, God Almighty, the triune God, calls him to preach. And how does he respond? Well, a calling to preach is not a career choice. If someone's truly called to preach, it's a holy calling from God. You don't have a chance to say, well, I think I prefer to be an engineer, but thank you, Lord, anyway. No, it's not a choice. So it's a holy calling from God, and he has this vision in Isaiah chapter 6, which I'm not going to go into now. And as he is brought to the presence of God, Isaiah says, woe is me. We need preachers who are called of God. And I want to urge you and I with some sense of urgency to begin to take up what Jesus said. Now, that's not a case of all of a sudden, we'll have an altar call this morning. You know, every head bowed, every eye closed. Who feels called to the ministry? And second row, I see that hand. But, you know, it's not about that, because you don't want to be going into the ministry to preach unless God calls you. Because in the year that King Uzziah died, Judah was far from God. And notice that then the Lord gives him a word of exhortation to Isaiah when he agrees to submit himself to the call of God. And the Lord says this to Isaiah, go. Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. I'll not go much further into the calling of Isaiah, but what the Lord tells Isaiah, the perfect prophet Jesus takes up those words as he teaches the word of God, and he applies what God said to Isaiah in his very own day 2,000 years ago, and he applies the words in Matthew 13, 14, and 15. And Jesus says, yes, I'm preaching, but it's the same as in Isaiah's day. Now, it's the doctrine of judicial hardening. And we're living in a nation today, and it feels like the day of Isaiah and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't know about you, but not everyone's called to this. I've been involved in street preaching sometimes over the years and different kinds of preaching. And you think, well, Where are the people? Why don't they respond? And we have a hardened people in the United Kingdom, don't we? Once this nation, forget about America, once this nation sent more missionaries around the world than any other nation. Why? It was the grace of God. What on earth is happening today? You go to Meadow Wall and you see all these lost people, but you turn away from Meadow Wall and say, I don't want to go there. Well, go to Sheffield United and you see 30,000 there. You see the same at Sheffield Wednesday's ground or whatever else it is. People in Britain running all over the place, and you preach the word of God and they don't respond. And we need to be reminded that it's the response is not in our hands, it's in God's hands. What's required of you and I, the people of God, is faithfulness to the Lord, to serve the Lord, and to serve Him with a whole heart. Further, to serve the Lord with a whole heart, not when you're 40 or 42, but when you're 52 and 62, and if God permits, 72. Now, I know all of us as Christians, over the years, you know, if you feel discouraged, sometimes they'll tell the preacher, well, don't be discouraged, Kevin, or don't be discouraged, somebody else. They say, God's word will never return void. And often a Christian means by that, you know, it'll accomplish that which it desires. And I agree. Isaiah himself preached that. God's word will never return void. But it doesn't mean that God's word always produces outward success. And as we come to a close this morning, you and I, I will be judged as a preacher for preaching this sermon to you this morning. Preachers will be judged more strictly. So who'd want to be a preacher? But don't think you won't be judged. You may be sat here this morning thinking, well, I'm not like the heathen out there. The heathen out there are not your concern. The grace of God has brought you here, and you and I will be without excuse. You have heard this morning the call of God to serve the Lord with a whole heart all the days of our life. Amen. Well, let's close in prayer and then we'll have the benediction. I want to pray that God would be calling specifically men. Not that men and women are not all called to serve, but we need men whom God will call to the office of pastor teacher. Because without pastors, we're going to be ruined. And I don't see lots of men who are knocking on my door, and I could speak to every man in our denomination, and we don't have men banging down our doors saying, I'm called to the ministry, can you help me to think through whether this really is the Lord or not? Let's ask the Lord to be merciful before we leave.